Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the ISO Review Podcast, a production of Simplify ISO. The ISO Review Podcast shares the latest international standards development and is your resource for getting the most out of your management systems. Hello, I'm Howard Fox, business coach and host of the Success Insight Podcast, and ISO management system professional Jim Moran, now celebrating his 32nd year delivering ISO support, joins me again for these episodes. Jim, it's a pleasure to have you back for another episode of the ISO Review Podcast. Welcome.
Well, thanks for the warm introduction, Howard. It's been great working with you, and we're finally getting some warm weather here in southwestern Ontario. The snow isn't quite gone, but it's almost, there's just little bits left. I think by the end of this week, it'll be pretty much finished. And are you up into the 80s and 90s Fahrenheit?
Not just yet. We are barely getting into the 70s. And this past weekend, we were in the high 60s. It was very windy here. And I actually, last week, officially took up disc golf. I don't know if you've ever seen that being played. I had never known it was a thing. And it was, I have to say, it was nice to get out in an open area, a nice park that had a disc golf course, and get my exercise. And I found out how lack of in shape I am, but it was still nice to get out there and really enjoy some sunny weather, albeit just a little cool. But soon enough, we're going to be up into the high 90s and 100s. And hopefully for you in Ontario, winter will hopefully go out like a lamb, not a lion.
Absolutely. Yeah, that disc golf has swept the nation. If you look online, you'll see global or world championships for disc golf. And they actually use actual golf courses when they get up into that sort of stratosphere of golfers. All three of my sons have their own disc golf bag with about 20 discs in it or 25 discs. It's just quite an amazing sport.
I literally, as I said a second ago, did not even know it was a thing. And I learned about it because on my outdoor podcast, I was interviewing a woman from Morristown, Tennessee. And apparently that is the disc golf capital of the U.S. And there's championships played on their courses there. And so I figured I needed the exercise. My roommate and her boyfriend needed exercise, and I wanted to at least, feel like I was halfway competent of what I was doing. So I have my introductory golf, disc golf set and bag to go along with it. So
excellent. Well, you know what the ancients said, a journey of 10,000 miles begins with a single step. So a journey of 10,000 rounds of disc golf begins with a single round.
Yes, it does. And I'm getting steps in. I think we've only been up to 9 holes. I think we're at about 4,500 steps. And pretty soon we'll do a complete round and I'll be getting my steps in hopefully a couple times a week.
Yeah. And it's a real pleasant way. I mean, we have trails around here and some of them are natural trails and some are paved trails, but you just can't beat it out on in a disc golf course where there's just so, and a lot of cities can put them in a very small area too. You don't need 140 acres like you need for a regular golf course, that's for sure.
Yeah. So it's nice to see it's sweeping not only our nation, but your nation as well. And if your sons have any words of advice, wisdom, I'm all ears. So
all right. Well, I think the best advice would be go at your own pace and kind of head. Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah. Well, good luck with that too.
Thank you. So what is in store for us today?
Well, last time we were together, Howard, in the last podcast, we looked at, we're looking at ISO 27008, the document on how to guidelines for the assessment of security controls. Some would say audit. Guidelines for how to audit your controls in Annex A. And last couple of podcasts, we went through Section 6, talking about to set the assessment process, assessment checklists, field work reviewing, the analysis process. We finished up with the resourcing and competence last time. And this time, we're into section 7, which is the review method. So I guess you might say this is kind of the meat and potatoes of assessing your controls in Annex A of ISO 27001. So we'll be doing the overview today. That's just a couple minutes. And we're going to look at two clauses, 7.2. It's called the process analysis. And then we're going to be starting into examination techniques. And then next time we'll be looking at testing and validation techniques. So this is going to be talking generally this time. And the next time we'll get right into some more nitty gritty. So there you go.
Excellent. Very good. Well, let's jump right in.
And let's let her rip. So as far as this whole section goes, section 7, and the section 7 title is Review Methods. So just kind of as a background for our listeners, the whole purpose or the basic concept of reviewing the controls that are required in Annex A typically includes a review procedures. Most organizations will write out some kind of, or should say, document some kind of procedure. I'm hoping you're using flowcharts to document your procedures. Then they can be audited by use the flowchart to audit them. So you'll have procedures. There's going to be a section in your method on how to review the reporting and then reviewing the follow-up. It's sort of a plan, do, check, act kind of model where you plan the assessment of the controls, you do the assessment of the controls, you check to see if you got everything finished, and then check to see if your review technique or your review process was effective, and then you make any changes you need to improve the review process for the next time. So any of your auditors who are in reviewing or auditing your controls in Annex A would naturally have four typical methods that they would use. They're going to look at the process and analyze the process for effectiveness. Is it getting the right result? And are the risks being managed? And are there any ways to improve it? So you're analyzing your processes. Then you're going to look at the activities that are going on, take a look for some verifiable evidence that the processes are working. Then the auditor would look thirdly at testing and validation techniques. And then, of course, somebody needs to have a look, usually a separate person taking a look at the sampling techniques that the auditor used. But then the auditor is going to look at the sampling techniques that the employees use. So we're going to be looking again, as I said, into a little bit more detail, but that kind of gives you a background. And if you're at all interested, make sure you get a copy of ISO 27008, the 2019 version. And you'll see another list of references in there, things like access control, ISO 27002. Now, this document lists 2013, but there's a 2022 version out. Access management in sections, they're all in these. All these sections are in 27002, user responsibilities, system application, policy, cryptographic controls, protection of log information, login, and then the log itself, protecting that information, and then managing the network security, of course. So you'll see in ISO 27002, you'll get some great ideas on how to test and what to look for sure. Nothing wrong with having some kind of guidance when you're auditing to see what you should be looking at. Naturally, you'll be wanting to follow all the processes you put in place to meet the requirements of the controls in the Annex A, 93 of them, four sections. Organizational controls, people controls, perimeter or physical controls, and then finally the technological or technical controls. They're the big ones. And as an auditor, you need to know what they are, of course, and then find out from your auditees how you're managing all those. So that's 7.1, the introduction. And that when we talk about processed analysis, we're going to be looking at, directly accessing information security controls. And you need to understand it's not always possible to be assured of their effectiveness and suitability in the operation. So sometimes you may have to sort of hypothesize, what's the other word I'm looking for, and conclude the effectiveness and suitability by analyzing other stuff, associated process activities, again, to make sure that they have been designed to provide the control that you want. Number one. Two, have they been implemented to get the effects that you want? Are they operating the way they were designed, assuming that's going to give you the output that you want? And then, are they being administered, monitored, and managed correctly? So when you think about all these parameters, the end result is, are these controls that we've documented according to Annex A and ISO 27001 and implemented according to Annex A and 27001, are they actually giving us the control that we need for our organization? Of course, it's going to be different for every organization because every organization's unique, and we have to make sure that the controls aren't designed from templates that we got somewhere on the internet, that the controls are designed to actually take care of your own specific situation and the kind of information that you manage or use. And these activities, again, they're always unique. They're going to have records, log entries, all that kind of thing. And alerts, alarms, events, incident reports, all these things will show you that things are functioning. And the auditor's job is to make sure that they are sufficient and reliable and fully effective. That's why the auditor needs to have good communication skills. The auditor needs to know how to talk to people in your organizations, and checking procedures out without making the auditee feel like you're an ISO cop there with your armband and 7-cell flashlight and your cat on your head ISO cop. So the skills that an auditor needs go far beyond just knowing the standard. Communication skills are at the very top of that particular list. Any information you can get from the audit team to tell you that there's assurance that the controls are working correctly, and then you as the auditor learning how to understand the tests that your IT people are doing in your organization. You run a test so that data, criteria, or situations can be demonstrated that they have triggered the control and kept your information safe. There's also information, Howard, in the additional document we've talked about in previous podcasts, ISO 27007. It gives you information on how to audit specifically information management systems. It's built on ISO 19011, which is the generic standard for all management systems, environmental, health and safety, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That takes care of what we talked about as the process analysis, or in another word, how do you analyze processes? And you're checking for effectiveness, you're checking for risk management, you're checking for any ways to improve, making sure that you're getting the result you want. So we're going to finish up today with some techniques, examination techniques. And this is we're reviewing things, but we need a method to review, a technique to review that is going to help the auditor understand what's going on, help clarify things for the auditor, and obtain what we refer to as verifiable evidence. And you're going to do that through interviews, inspections, observations, or any kind of analysis that the auditor is comfortable with, that he or she can understand the real purpose or understand the real result of what they're looking at. It might look like things are operating as they should, but the auditor's job is to make sure that he or she can confidently say, this control is working, this control is sort of working, or this control is not working as well as it could, and we need to make the following changes. So sometimes, you have to look at something. So the things you can look at are mechanisms, some functionality that is in the hardware, some features of the software, the firmware. And I guess that's another thing you'd check is the firmware, the most current version, databases, are they being protected well? So you're looking at mechanisms. And then another thing you'll look at when you're talking to your auditee are processes, system operations, administration, management processes, any kind of things that are making stuff happen. And remember, I've said before, I'll just repeat it. Typically, data sitting still can be very well protected. It's when it's moving, when information or data is moving from one place to another, especially when it's moving from inside your organization to outside, that's when data or information is most vulnerable. So you need to understand as the auditor how the information flows and where it flows and who's doing the most flowing. And of course, have things in place like clean desk, clean screen, making sure salespeople aren't talking to your customers at Starbucks where the systems are quite vulnerable. And things like that. So the system backups, you'd be looking at actions relating to the contingency plan exercises that have maybe been done. Have a look at some incident responses. You can look at the mechanism in the all through the hardware and software, just checking it, studying it, observing the operation. So you'd have the auditee demonstrate things for you, making sure that when changes occur, that you're using the requirements or meeting the requirements for change management. If you don't have anything in place for that, you can always check ISO 9001 clause 6.3. That's management system change management requirements there. And making sure that everyone in the organization, especially the people in the back end, are logging the activities related to changes, who made the change, how they tested it, and doing things that you might not always think about, like setting it up first in a test bed just to see if it's going to work there before you just go ahead and crank it right into the main system. We had our major internet service provider, communications provider really in Canada a couple of years ago, had somebody working on the .NET portion of one of their servers, and it went down for 3 days, cost billions of dollars in lost sales for retail. People couldn't communicate, I should say. Emergency services were hindered. Lots of stuff happened. And you look back, you shake your head saying, what were they thinking? Just going right in there, burrowing around in the mainframe code without checking things first. It was quite a shock. We had a different issue last summer with a major book chain, and they were hacked and had some ransomware installed. That was a little different, but it could have been somebody let their guard down. Hard to say when those kind of situations where the weakness was. And that's the other thing too, making sure that you look at these incidents with the question, where was the weakness in our system instead of who screwed up? So that's, and the auditor would follow up with any issues that had happened. And physical security measures as well. You remember those four that we talked about a minute ago. Operational controls, people controls, physical building controls, physical barriers, and then finally the technological controls. You want to make sure that at the very least you can't get into the room, for example, or that then making sure that the main IT room has good cameras, good kind of CCTV in there. So those are kind of what you might call, if I could give it a category, just general controls. Then there are the procedural controls we've talked about a number of times. All kinds of processes you can view without actually interacting with them. You can watch the auditee carry out a process, and that can allow the auditor to receive immediate evidence on how some specific activities are formed. The acquisition of documented information that came out of the test, and that can be used to complete the situation when, especially when rare or specific events need to be observed. And of course, you can't create a situation if there's risk that it could damage the system naturally. So you have to, maybe there's some things you could do on a clone of the system. Maybe there's something you can do on a whole separate system where you can watch the activity that's installed, watch the software that's installed on the main system, watch it behave on a separate clone system. That can be a good way to see if something's working well. So those are procedural controls, and anything that comes out of that way of documented information can definitely be used as evidence in your audit report. And then finally, this is the last part of section 3, and we'll be doing section 4 and 5 next time, or 4 next time, I should say. And the technical controls, let's say you're talking to an auditee, you want to be able to review the configurations settings. You want to find out some way to have the auditee explain how you would predict the behavior of something without actually having to test it, especially when a test could be dangerous to the security of the system. And it could be, you might actually have to surmise the effectiveness without actually seeing something happen. It's kind of like a fire drill. But in a fire drill, you can actually test it. You can actually make sure everybody gets out, and you don't damage the building by having a fire drill. By putting a virus on a mainframe, of course, that's a pretty crazy example, but it's kind of an example of what not to do in terms of assessing the effectiveness of controls on a system. So anything that's critical that can be disturbed by testing, you must avoid doing those kind of activities as the auditor. But you can still have either the person who uses that area of the system walk you through what could happen, or you could have IT explain what kinds of things they're doing. And next time, we'll be talking about testing and validation techniques. And we'll probably just do the testing technique 7.4 next time, Howard, and then we'll go on to the broadcast after that into the sampling techniques. It's always a challenge to know when you've seen enough as an auditor, how much is enough, kind of thing. All right, so that's it for clause 7.3, examination techniques. And I hope our folks can join us next time for 7.4, the examination techniques. And I hope they enjoyed the analysis explanation from today. So there we go.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Jim. Very thorough. And it's a lot to take in. And this is a good way for our listeners and folks who are also passionate about international standards and development and inside their organizations to really double check, triple check for that matter, their processes, procedures, and are they, you know, doing their due diligence to ensure their all their controls are in place. And thank you again for taking us through ISO 27008, the review methods, overview, and process analysis. So clauses 7.1 through 7.3.
All right. Glad to do it, Howard. And I'm looking forward to any comments our visitors might have. We're welcome. They're welcome to leave them at the wherever you view your podcasts. And it's always great to hear some feedback from you.
Most definitely. And we're going to provide the backlinks, not only to the Simplify ISO website, and I know there is a contact form there. So if you have listened to our episode for our listeners, do leave Jim a comment. And if you have questions, feel free to comment there as well. You can also learn more about this topic and listen to the episodes by visiting the International Management Systems Institute website, imsipro.org. And as a reminder to our listeners, if you have listened to the shows before, you'll know there's also the ISO 27001 GAP checklist. And we're also going to provide those links as well as links to Jim's LinkedIn and YouTube pages. As for me, you can find us on the Vox Coaching website, and also we'll have backlinks to my LinkedIn profile as well. I think that's it, Jim. Another great episode again, and thank you for taking the time to share your expertise with our listeners, and I'm sure they are very appreciative of it and the information that you are gifting to them and to anybody interested in this topic. So look forward to having you on the next episode of the ISO Review Podcast.
We'll see you next time, Howard. Thanks again for hosting this and providing your expertise as well to keep it on running smoothly and clearly for everybody. And we'll hope to see you real soon.
Very good. All right. Okay, folks, just a reminder, the ISO Review Podcast is a production of Simplify ISO. You can find us online at simplifyiso.com or wherever you listen to your podcast. Go out there, have a phenomenal day, be well, be safe, and we look forward to having you on a future episode of the ISO Review Podcast. Take care now.